Request Friday, by the way, if you have a tune you want to hear. Darby wanted to hear a little CCR, 1-877-332-8255. It is a game day edition of the Green Zone. Getting set, pregame show at 5 ahead of the Rough Riders and the Edmonton Elks at Mosaic Stadium. Week 8 of CFL action. The Riders, with a win, can claim sole possession of first place in a 6-1 start to the regular season. And again, the pregame show at 5 o'clock. But we continue our preview series of the National Football League. All the training camps are a go. Analyst of the Detroit Lions, Super Bowl champion Lomas Brown will be joining us here on the Green Zone. Lomas, how's the early portion of training camp in Detroit?
Feisty. It's been getting feisty out there. The guys have been kind of mixing it up a little bit. And, you know, today was the first day of pads. So they were getting a little feisty in pajamas, as I call them. They're shorts. So you can tell the guys are ready to go. And look, it's just a few days to that Hall of Fame game, so they'll be able to hit some other guys on a different team.
So, Lomas, of course, you're an outstanding offensive tackle, Super Bowl champion, All-Pro, Detroit Lions Hall of Fame. Day one of pads, even for a Rough Rider CFL training camp, if someone tells me pads on at day one, I'm going to training camp to watch that one. How badly do you want to hit a guy on day one with pads on, Lomas?
Oh, my gosh, man. I used to get the butterflies. I used to get a little nervous. But once I had that first hit, all that nervousness, it just goes out the window. And I'm telling you, you get tired of seeing and hearing and smelling your own teammate. You're ready to hit somebody, and you're ready to take out a little frustration on them. So day one used to be awesome when you put the pads on.
Lomas, what kind of numbers are you getting spectator-wise for camp? We're fascinated by how many people go to these training camps.
Yeah, we're sold out. All our practices are already sold out. I mean, standing room. They started offering standing room, so it's sold out. And I think we probably hold between 1,500 and 2,000 people out there. So it's something when the crowd gets out there and they just bring you that extra motivation because they're out there cheering for you.
Okay, last year, let's get at it for this year, 2025. How much did that burn? Number one seed, yeah. And then Jaden Daniels comes in and ends it early in the playoffs. Where are these Detroit Lions mentally to get back to number one seed but not have a playoff letdown?
Yeah, for me, it's still stinging. So I know for those guys, they still have to, and David Montgomery said it himself, that they're on a vengeance tour. That, you know, these last couple of years have been unfulfilled. But I think out of the last couple of years, I think last year hurts the most because of what you were able to overcome. Think about this, guys. We had 17 guys that went on IR last year, 13 on the defensive side alone. But yet and still, they were still able to have a 15-2 record and get the number one seed. So, again, you know, kudos to what they were able to overcome. But now it's about once you get in the playoffs, what we need to do to get to the next level. And like I say, losing against Washington and Jaden Daniels, that really stung. And I think it still kind of sticks in the craw of guys, too.
Lomas, what are your concerns about this squad this year? You're watching training camp. You've seen some of the guys. You know, are there any deficiencies that need to be addressed?
Oh, yeah. I mean, to me, I mean, again, the middle of your offensive line. I mean, people don't realize, yeah, we lost Frank Ragnow, but Frank Ragnow was a dude. He wasn't just a regular player. This dude was all pro, all world. And you got to try to replace him, and you might be doing it with a rookie in there. You got an inexperienced guy that might be at the left guard position, and then you have a guy like Graham Glasgow that kind of struggled last year that may be at your right guard. So, and you think about, I was just going through the top 10 defensive tackles in the league, And we faced at least six of them. So, again, you know, a rookie going through that and a young offensive line, I think that can be a point. And then the other thing is just depth. We just have to keep creating, trying to create depth on our offense and especially our defensive line, too. Hopefully these guys will be able to get healthy and stay healthy this year. But we need to create some depth that we'll have just in case we lose guys.
Where is Aiden Hutchinson at early going in camp, recovering from that devastating leg injury last year?
Looking good. Looking good so far. Looking like the same Aiden Hutchinson, bringing the energy, being in the center of everything, creating chaos. So he seems to be to his old self. Again, you don't know till you get in a game situation and somebody cuts you down there or somebody falls on your leg, and that's when you really feel, okay, things are all right. But until that happens right now, I think he's looking good and he's doing everything he has to do to try to get back to that form before he broke his leg.
Lomas, word outside of Detroit is that the new Logan, the Lions slogan is Motor City Hunting Season. Have you heard that being tossed around, or is this new to you? Okay.
Wow, this is new to the big fella. Okay, I like that.
What are they hunting?
Wow.
I guess a championship.
They're hunting a championship. They're hunting a championship.
I'm trying to get there. Yeah. Think about it. We're one of, three teams or four teams that's never been there. And we're one of the original teams. That's the crazy part. So we've been around, you know, as long as this league has been around, and we're still trying to get to the pinnacle, which is the Super Bowl. So, yes, I'm glad we're the hunting team. I like that.
Lomas Brown joining us, analyst, of course, on the Lions Hall of Fame and all-pro tackle in his day. Super Bowl champ. He did win a Super Bowl. I don't want to talk about that game because it was
Raiders. He's a Raiders
for
fan.
A Raiders fan, it was awful. For a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, it was an amazing game. As
Lomas,
you know,
is still enjoying it by the sounds of it.
Well, you'd think Bill Callahan would change the playbook for John Gruden's team. Right, Lomas?
Hey, and you know what? It was so funny because Coach Gruden, he played Gannon the whole time in practice. So he was Rich Gannon, and he was telling us that if Rich comes to the line of scrimmage and he puts up this signal, they're going to do this, I mean, we knew everything. That's why that famous sound piece with John Lynch, when he's famously saying, it was just like we practiced it, because Coach Gruden gave us everything we needed for that game.
Hey, congratulations. It worked out great for you, Lomas, as with the Super Bowl champion. But when you look at this Detroit Lions team, it's been an interesting peak, because last year we got receiver and we got Amon-Ra St. Brown as a focal piece of that. This year, Netflix quarterback series, it was Jared Goff. It is cool, Lomas, to see the culture the head coach has formed here. How cool is it for you as a former player to watch what's going on in Detroit and the love that these guys have for each other?
Excitement around the team, too, right? Yeah. Like, it's still a buzz.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. It really is. And I'm going to tell you, the most unbelievable part to me is that if you listen to anybody off of our three other sports teams, meaning the Tigers, the Red Wings, and the Pistons, all of them say they use the word grit. They use the word resilience. It's almost like they're clones of Dan Campbell. And it's a testimony. Even the coaches, J.B. Bickerstaff and A.J. Hintz and, you know, all the coaches, Todd McCullen here, you know, with the Red Wings, the coaches, when you hear them, they sound like little Dan Campbells because they use a lot of his words and stuff that he uses. So to me, it's just so remarkable, not how he's just changed the culture, with the Lions, but kind of how he's changed the culture in the whole state of Michigan, in the city of Detroit, with the other sports teams down there. It just permeates. And, you know, we have that belief here, and he has the fans behind him. So it's been so great to see how this has happened. And the most remarkable part to me is just how fast he's been able to just turn the culture around here in the state of Michigan.
Lomas, we've had you on before, and I think we've neglected to talk about how much and how important it is for you as a former player and a member of that of the Detroit, the city of Detroit, to give back, and you have a foundation. Can you talk about that? Give us a little bit of what you've been working on lately.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And, you know, I have the Lomas Brown Jr. Foundation, and basically what we do is two things. We do sports camps, and we do educational camps. And we do those to service the kids of Southeast Michigan. It's all everything I do for any camps, any activities I do, they're always free to the kids and their family because we never want to put a financial burden on them. But what we try to do is just expose these kids to so many different technologies, different industries, you know, just different ways we try to expose the kids to, because as we know, kids are sponges, and that if you expose it to them and it's something that they gravitate to, they absorb it, and they will, I think they can better themselves. So that's all we try to do at my foundation, and I really appreciate you guys letting me talk about that a little bit, too.
You're a good man, my friend.
Well, Lomas, we appreciate you whenever you hop on with us to talk about the Detroit Lions, and maybe this is the year, Lomas. What do you think?
I hope so. It's been so long, so long. We need it here in Detroit. So, man, if Jared could bring it to us, we'll take it. We will take it.
And Lomas, thanks so much for your time.
Take care, fellas.
That is Lomas Brown, analyst of the Detroit Lions. He's in their Hall of Fame, the Lions Hall of Fame as well, multiple Pro Bowl, Super Bowl champion with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in his final season of his long NFL career. Coming up here on the Green Zone, you'll hear from defensive coordinator of the Edmonton Elks, J.C. Sherritt, before the pregame show at 5 o'clock. And we are going to preview the defending Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles, as well, right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All Request Friday here on the Green Zone. A little Ozzy to remember the legend lost earlier this week.
For Joe Carlisle. He's been driving a lot today, so we wanted to hear that one.
1-877-332-8255. If you have a request, of course, game day edition of the Green Zone. Riders and the Edmonton Elks. I put it out earlier. What do you think of a score for the game tonight? We have a 21-17 Elks win. We have a Bomber fan, Curtis, saying 35-10 for Edmonton, so we won't listen to Bomber fans on their expertise. Meanwhile, we have a 35-15 win for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 33-27, which was last week's score, 33-21, 32-24, 34-23, 38-17. A lot of confident members of Rider Nation today. Locker,
I got 28-13. You got 32-18.
Yeah, 14-point win.
We both had the stamps last night, so we both lost that last night.
They lost Vernon Adams Jr. when they were up by like 7 points, and then P.J. Walker sucked. He was terrible as the backup quarterback for Calgary. Now, if he gets some reps, maybe that'll help, but he was missing wide-open receivers, firing it
that
way
last
behind him.
Like, the last shot where he only needed 2 yards, I think he threw it 6 feet over that guy's head.
Yeah, and Tyrese Beverett was offside, and they didn't call that. Brett and Regina with a request. A little romantics on a Friday, All Request Friday. Jamie and Locker with you. Game day in Saskatchewan. It's a hot one today. A kickoff temperature around 27 degrees. Beautiful night for football as the Riders take on the Edmonton Elks. Of course, the Rough Riders can start the season 6-1. Will be one of their best starts in a long time.
What were you saying about the blip? You were saying there's a blip. Blip. What do you mean, blip?
I'm just looking at the radar just in case there's a thunderstorm or anything like that. So there's just little stuff popping up here and there. Not around Regina, but just paying attention to it because you know how much I love following the radar. But as for the smoke that delayed the game 2 weeks ago in Regina,
we're good.
They had to push it from Friday to Saturday because of air quality. We're good. Air quality, it's like zero in Regina right now. Like,
nice. Yes, we're there. Nice out right now.
So don't worry about that as the Elks come in. But we continue our NFL preview series with the defending Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles, Dave Spadaro with the Eagles and Eagles.com, Eagles Insider here on the Green Zone. Dave, how's camp so far? That's our first question to pretty well everybody.
Yeah, camp has gone well for the Philadelphia Eagles. No injuries. They got their number one draft pick on the field, maybe a little bit ahead of when they expected to. So that's good news. And the theme from the Philadelphia Eagles is last year is last year. We are keeping our sights set on 2025.
We were just curious, just based on what we know about Philadelphia and the history of the people that live there, has the celebration stopped?
Hell no. Not for the people in Philadelphia. For the team, yeah, but for the people of Philadelphia,
they're still going.
No way.
Nice.
Oh my gosh, yeah, yeah.
How do you do it though? I'm curious how it's hard. Wouldn't it be, Dave, to just check that and go, oh, new season when you just got your rings like a couple of days or weeks ago? And those rings are ridiculous, by the way.
It was a week ago, and the rings, like the videos that you've seen, the photos that you've seen, do not do justice to the very definition of bling. They are incredible rings. But I think for the team, you know, they've been to the Super Bowl enough here, and you know they were on the other side of the win loss back in 2022, that season, losing to the Chiefs, and you have to turn the page quickly. And then I also think, you know, when they won the Super Bowl in 2017, they basically ran it back, and this time they've really changed the roster quite a bit, and there are a lot of players here, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, that are here on 1 year contracts, prove it deals. So, you know, there's a difference, and obviously those players were not here last year, and so that helps change the narrative and the focus and the perspective of a football team. And for a guy like Jalen Hurts, who's just like this crazily focused player, he has not even opened the box to look at the ring. He is not a ring guy.
What?
He is just so he is just so focused.
That's very interesting.
On what's ahead. It is it's really super oddly focused on the next thing. Like, really not. I've talked to him a million times this year. We did a bunch of events, and he said he really enjoyed the Super Bowl win for about 3 days, and that's it.
Scottie Scheffler of NFL.
In a way, it really is. And Scheffler is exactly like that. He's no emotion at all. You wonder, is he enjoying this thing? And for Jalen just enjoys the next challenge. It's Jordan-esque, maybe? I mean, Jordan certainly seemed to enjoy things, but then he was right back at it.
Hey, I saw something today, and I don't know. Jamie, have you seen this before where you get a chance to win a ring? Like fans.
Yeah. Yeah, well, listen, that is part of what the Eagles do, and I will say this. Jeffrey Lurie, when he bought the team in 1994, had two missions, and he stated this many, many times, to win multiple Lombardi trophies, which he's accomplished, and to make an impact in the community. And that ring opportunity is part of what the Eagles will do to bring in more money for their Eagles Autism Foundation.
Okay.
And, you know, the Eagles, for example, had an event, run, walk, ride event, raised $10 million for autism, and every single group of people that I've spoken in front of or dealt with and people who are listening have been impacted by autism. So bravo to the Philadelphia Eagles for that.
I saw that ring. I was like, I want that. I'm not even an Eagles fan, I want that ring.
If you get a ring, I'm warning you, get your chiropractor lined up because it's so heavy. People have asked me what the weight of the ring is. 12 carats of diamonds. That's the weight. I believe that's the weight. Now, I mean, if there's a jeweler out there who's laughing at me, that may be wrong. But from what the appraisal value is insane. Like, it's just an insane ring. And compared to the ring from 2017 season, that one looks like a pinky ring compared to what this thing is.
It really does. I forget which player compared the two, and it was like, jeez. And those rings back then weren't that, like, they were small. But the like the wings, the like the logo, the, they pop out of the ring. That's a crazy feature.
And then inside the wings, the diamonds are on the outside, and inside the wings it says, on one wing you cannot be great, and on the other wing it says, without the greatness of others. So everything, when a team wins, every single component of the ring has meaning, and you know, it is an incredible bauble. I mean, it is just unbelievable.
That's pretty cool.
Okay, let's dig into what's ahead in 2025. Okay, Saquon Barkley set quite the standard. Even if he doesn't get to 2024 and the 2,000 yards rushing, what do we expect for an encore performance from Saquon with the Eagles this year?
You know, it was funny. The other day he was asked, why is it so hard to get for running backs to gain 2,000 yards a second time? And his answer was, because it's really hard to do it the first time. And I don't think anybody can look at this and say, this is a player who set the record for the most rushing yards in an entire season, postseason included, 434 touches, 443 touches, something like that, a really, really high number of touches. I don't anticipate that kind of workload for Saquon Barkley. He's in phenomenal shape. The offensive line is great. You know, certainly the Eagles have the weapons around him to allow the running game to thrive. But they've also upgraded, potentially, the running back position. Will Shipley is in his second year, had a good first season, University of Clemson. And then A.J. Dillon, who was a power running back with the Green Bay Packers, had retired with neck injuries, is healthy now, in camp, looks good. So I just don't see it. I mean, look, the encore is that Saquon is still a devastating running back and forces defenses to severely alter their approach to stopping him, as the Kansas City Chiefs did in Super Bowl 59, and they did a great job. Problem for the Chiefs was Jalen Hurts had a big game, and the Eagles just, you know, went crazy, 40 points scored. So, but certainly Saquon looks great. He's meticulous in his preparation. And the Eagles have a great offensive line and a lot of weapons around him, and there's really no reason to think that Saquon Barkley will fall off dramatically in terms of his impact on the game.
Dave, I read your piece about Coop. He had a great rookie season and a lot of expectations for him this second year, and probably one of the more I think the young ladies probably really like him, but probably one of the more popular new players on the Eagles.
Yeah, well, he was popular with the Eagles last year. And look, white cornerback in the NFL doesn't happen a whole lot. And then it just happened that on his birthday, he gets a pick six against Patrick Mahomes. Eagles win the Super Bowl. Popularity explosion.
Yeah.
Great kid. Phenomenal athlete. You know, before he played in the NFL, his career at Iowa was really acclaimed. And his feats on the basketball court were legendary in the social media world. So he came in with a lot of acclaim and showed it. And now the Eagles, from a football standpoint, want to make sure, if possible, they get their 11 best players on the field on defense. And a nickel cornerback and the safety position in the league are very, very similar. And so they've been using him at the safety position next to Reed Blankenship. And he looks great back there. He's got to learn the position. Certainly a different perspective, different calls, but they want him on the field in base at safety. In the nickel, he moves down to the cornerback position, and he would likely get some outside cornerback looks to see if he can handle that as well. But one of the reasons the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year is that they got instant impact from their rookie class. Quinyon Mitchell, their first-round pick, stepped right on the field and started. Cooper DeJean came in game number 5 and changed the dynamic of the defense, and the D finished number 1 in the NFL. So those two young guys are back, and Cooper, I'm telling you, he is a popular kid in the city of Philadelphia and this region, and probably now throughout the NFL, because he's just such a dynamic player and such a just a likable young man who really, really works hard at the game of football.
Sees the field well.
Okay, Dave,
and a great athlete. Yeah, does it all.
One of my favorite random stats in the National Football League is there has been no repeat division winner in the NFC East since the Eagles did it in 2003-04. Since the Giants, yeah. Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, you know, Washington. The last four have been Cowboys, Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles. Can the Eagles win a second straight division and end this streak that's gone on over 20 years?
They certainly can. They look great. But it is a stat that bears respect and certainly deserves respect. I mean, as bizarre as it is and as dominant as the Eagles look, you kind of go to that stat and say, well, I mean, is this the year that we're going to buck 20-plus years, 20-plus seasons of fact? That and the Eagles, look, they've come in 2023 after that 2022 Super Bowl run. They're sitting there 10-1. The division is theirs, and they go and lose five of the last six regular season games, and they get blown out by the Buccaneers in the first round of the playoffs and lose the division. Don't win the division. So, yeah, it is possible the Eagles win it for sure. I would certainly think that they are the odds-on favorite given everything, but the game's not played on paper, and you don't want to get ahead of yourselves. Things change in the NFL very, very quickly. But this is a roster that is stacked. They are deep. They are young. They have a future with between 10 and 13 draft picks next year. They've got a litany of young star players. But I just keep looking at it and go, you know, you can't take anything for granted, particularly in the NFC East. That statistic is so weird but so real. And let's see how it plays out.
Are the pundits talking about the new OC and any concerns about how the offense will respond to somebody else making calls?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's Jalen's. It's what I think the fifth play caller that he's had in his seasons with the Eagles. Yeah, Kevin Petullo's been here since Nick Sirianni's been the head coach, so he knows the offense. He will add some wrinkles. He's a sharp guy. He's a fast thinker. He's got a great relationship with Jalen. But it is another change, and teams have had another year to study the offense, and how many wrinkles do you have to add so that you're not running it back from an X's and O's standpoint? You always have to change some things up. So, yeah, I mean, they're not looking at it in a particularly wary way, but it is certainly something to watch. And like for example, the Detroit Lions, you look at that team and you say, that's a really talented team, and they've got all these players, and they're coming back strong. Yet they've lost both coordinators, and having lived through that in 2023 after the 2022 Super Bowl, that really impacted the Eagles, and Kevin Petullo has a lot to prove.
Well, Dave, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for it, and enjoy the rest of camp.
And guys, enter for your chance to win a Phil. And any Eagles fans in
already
Saskatchewan?
Already did.
Love it. Love it. All right, guys, have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too, Dave. Thanks for your time. Dave Spadaro, Eagles insider from Eagles.com. And, yes, you too could own one of those.
That's a crazy-looking ring, Jamie.
Amazing ring that Jeffrey Loria.
I didn't know that the wings came
out.
Yeah,
the wings pop out. It has a little inspirational phrase
just
in there.
Just give you an idea of how big it is. Did you hear the phrases?
Yes.
Yeah. Like full quotes.
So. It's like a poem. As we continue here on the Green Zone, is still to come. We'll talk to Drew Remenda, some NHL headlines to get to. Of course, it's game day, the pregame show at 5. We'll still hear from J.C. Sherritt, defensive coordinator of the Elks, before that as well. Right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All Request Friday here on the Green Zone. I'll be honest, this is one of my 7-year-old's favorite songs.
They play that at the games all the time. It's good.
I think that's why, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of sports organizations play this song nowadays.
It's on the list. It's on the list of tunes for sure.
As we continue here in the Green Zone, Riders and the Elks. 5 o'clock is the Green Zone pregame show. Belton Johnson, Darrell Davis will join me. Locker gets to go home early, get his face paint on, and hop on the scooter with a non-perishable food item. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Pure Later Tackle.
Donation.
Pure Later Tackle Hunger Night. So make sure you bring something, even if it's just a can of food. Last year, 29,000 pounds of food was collected at the Pure Later Tackle Hunger Game.
That's a pound a person that came to the game. So let's make
it
2 pounds.
We can beat it.
2 pounds a person.
We can beat
right?
it this year, for sure.
But I have a question for Saskatchewan. You're going to the game tonight, 7 o'clock kickoff. Will you be chanting Cody?
Cody!
Is this something you are doing for the Riders and the Elks with Cody Fajardo's first start at Mosaic Stadium?
I've been practicing all week. I'll be doing it.
1-877-332-8255. Are you getting the Cody chant going in your section? Let us know.